tuned into the Atlanta Life Radio station WALR, bringing you the best in talk radio with shows that cover topics to feed your mind, body, and soul. And now we present Let's Talk Going Gym Free with your hosts, Mark and Beth, and today's special guest, Ray Cook. Portions of tonight's broadcast have been pre-recorded. So let's get this conversation started. Now here's Mark. Mark?
Well, welcome back to another Wednesday night. We are in the Virtual Wellness Cafe. Beth is in Texas again, or maybe in Louisiana today. I'm not sure. She kind of floats all over the place. Beth, where are you today?
I'm a floater. I am in Louisiana this week.
How's it going out there?
Good. I mean, the weather was pretty crazy this weekend, but it's beautiful now. Absolutely gorgeous.
You know, we are on, I think, what are we on, week six already of this, six or seven? And that's been fun. Yeah, this has been something that I've enjoyed. And the feedback has been good, the questions, the emails. We're going to have a really good interview coming up here, a success story. We're going to have a new little segment, a challenge of the week segment that we're going to get to in the second half hour. So it is full steam ahead, Beth. Can you handle that?
I think I can. I'm like, yeah, full steam ahead. I think I can do anything. You throw it my way. Anything.
Okay.
You can't stump me.
All right.
The audience knows, Mark calls me Simsy. That's my nickname. So you throw anything Simsy's way, I'm on it.
Yeah. And I know we talked before we got on the air, and I know this is something that has been bugging you for a couple of weeks. Are you ready for this? Are you ready?
I don't know. There's a lot of things that have been bugging me, so it depends.
This one was you had challenged me, kind of challenged my honor of doing a Zumba class. And so I wanted to tell you up front right away that I still haven't done the class.
You burst my bubble.
I burst your bubble. I know you were ready because – I said before that when I do the Zumba class that I'm going to post a picture of it online, which I will. I just haven't done it. I just haven't done it yet. And it's good for me, and I haven't got around to it. So to you and the listeners, I say sorry. My bad.
I'm actually slightly disappointed in you. Come on, Mark.
Really? Why?
I am. I don't know why, but I am.
Well, it's kind of disappointing. I think it's only disappointing because there's no picture. The picture that's the thing. I mean, you're disappointed more about the picture. It's not that I'm working out and trying to stay fit. It's I got to see a picture of Mark doing a Zumba class. It didn't happen, and I apologize for that. But my workouts have been good this week. I know we were going to talk about I think in more than the second half hour, but working out that you can do when the weather's bad, and fortunately for me, out here in California, the weather's been good. But I know where you are, it hasn't been awesome all the time. But so I've been doing my walking, and I've been doing a lot of squats with the baseball umpiring with that season kind of in full force. Murray's been moving and shaking. So
he's Zumba. He's going to Zumba. Why can't we?
He would not enjoy Zumba unless the Zumba class has a couch there and he can sit and watch me do it. So
Come on. What about you?
Yes,
but before we go there, you told me just a few weeks Murray like went running and it freaked you out. So Murray is not that lazy lap couch dog. He can run.
He can run. He's like a greyhound mix, and he can run if I set him free. But I think that might just be him running from me. So he's trying to get as far away as possible. So when he's with me, it's like a complete surrender. He's just surrendered and said, all right, you know what? I'm not going to have it better anywhere else. But if I have the opportunity, I'm going to run away. Yes, he can run and he can sit. So it's kind of an interesting contrast there.
Okay, my workout. Let's talk about
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm traveling, so I actually went for a run this Saturday. A great run. It was just, the weather. It's kind of cool. It was a really, really good run. Did some yoga, but just working out of the in the hotel has been actually challenging but fun. And just doing a different thing, going down to the fitness center at the hotel. I did that this morning. Had a great workout. Did some weights, did some time on the treadmill. But the funny thing is, it's been raining. It rained like crazy this weekend here. And I actually saw some folks running out on the bayou. And they're determined. They are so determined. I saw the underprepared, determined runners. And I saw the over-prepared but determined runners. You know?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Both can be disturbing to watch.
Yes.
If you know what I mean. You know what I mean? The underprepared is tough, and then the other side is brutal too. So
I just don't run.
I just don't run.
Okay, you're talking about the overprepared runners. You know, you see
yeah.
like they have 20 water bottles. They have 18
yeah.
gel packs. They have a compass. They have a map. They have a tent just in case. So, I see those. And in Houston, when I go to Memorial Park, it's so funny. You just see, it's amazing. And I'm not making light of this, but you see everyone, all ages, all, you know, stages of running and exercisers. And it's interesting. I'm a people watcher.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
And I virtually take the same walk or couple of walks every day. So there's no need for a compass. I don't need to take a compass when I take my walk. So, I don't know.
Yes, my favorite type of person to observe when they're running is I can't stop talking to myself even though I'm in public runner.
Yeah. Yeah. Who are they talking to? Just themselves?
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Well, because I can see, like, I've put on the headset for a walk and maybe talk to myself, but it looks more acceptable because I have headsets in. So maybe someone's going, "Oh, he must be on a call." So that could be that, but it's also for a good excuse for me to avoid talking to anybody too, which is not a nice thing. So, but yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah,
I kind of get embarrassed for them.
Yeah, it's not a good look. Let's just say that. Let's just leave it at
get that out
not
there
a good look.
Right now. If they hear one of those people. Sorry, Betty,
yeah,
we're talking about it right
good
now.
Look. Hey, we have a good show today because we wanted to get into, bad habits and habits that are tough to break. And we're bringing someone on here in a second that you've done some work with, and we're going to talk about smoking cessation, how hard it is to quit. But you know what? Before we get to him, Beth, tell us about this guy Ray a little bit, and you've worked with him for a while, just to give a little background on him.
You know, just reached out to me a few weeks ago. It hasn't been that long, and just wanted to quit smoking. He had this. I don't want to tell his story too much,
right.
But his testimony's on the website, Elena Life Radio, but. He's just a really neat person. He's a really neat person. I've enjoyed coaching him. I've enjoyed, becoming friends with him. And he has a great story and he's really, really wants to tell and encourage people. I've heard him say, "I'm proud of what I've done." And that literally, in the jab that I have, that makes my heart melt. That makes everything worthwhile because Ray has really, really gone above and beyond and been like, "Hey, well, son, I'm doing this, and I want everybody to know." So, yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah, well, so that was a good way to set him up. So, without further ado, let's bring on Ray. We talked to him yesterday, and here's that interview. And we are moving along again on another Wednesday night here in the Virtual Wellness Cafe. We're going to get to our success story, our guest, a special guest in just a moment. But if you're just joining us, we want to run down how you can stay in contact with the show. If you want to email us, that's always a good thing, goinggymfree@gmail.com. Also, like us on Facebook, and if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do that at ALR Radio. Also, check out the website, AtlantaLifeRadio.com. And I want to bring in our special guest today, who's got a really good story to tell. His name is Ray Cook. Ray, thanks for taking a few minutes. Tell us where you are right now in Louisiana, and tell us how much you like Beth, and has she been good to you over the last few months?
Okay, I am right outside of New Orleans. I live in a little small fishing community called Barataria, and Beth is probably one of the best coaches you could ever have.
Oh, thank you. That's sweet.
Oh.
Did you pay
him? No, I didn't. Beth, you never tried to coach me, so I can't weigh in how good of a coach you are, but I'm sure you're pretty good. Ray, tell us a little bit about your background. Tell us a little bit about yourself. We kind of get into the meat of everything.
I'm an automotive technician. Been doing it for about 26 years. Did some work in an oil field in the Gulf of Mexico about 6 years, and I work for a company. We have a contract with the government, and it keeps me really busy. And I love fishing. I love outdoors. I do a lot of fishing, kayaking, camping, and stuff like that.
You know, Ray, the reason you're here is because I want to brag on you. You have just done such an amazing job in your health quest. And for the folks, I want to encourage our audience to click on to the Atlanta Life Radio to read Ray's story and his testimony for those who haven't read it. But Ray quit smoking, and quitting smoking is one of the single most important steps a person can take to improve their length and quality of life. So how long did you smoke? How long were you a smoker?
I smoked for the better part of 30 years of my life, starting about somewhere around 15 to 16 years old.
Yeah. Wow.
And Ray, along those lines, how many times along this path had you tried to quit smoking? And you know, for people that are trying to quit smoking, how hard was this for you to do? How hard is it for you to kind of maintain this now?
It was rough. It was a rough road. I tried about two times, failed miserably. And, you know, I got myself mentally prepared this time. So that was one of the key things. I mean, that really helped me, you know, because I was mentally prepared to do it. And just a lot of support, and the rest is history.
Yeah. You know, people develop unhealthy habits over time and for many reasons, but it's not typically because they want to be unhealthy. I mean, someone never says, hey, I want to be unhealthy. It's typically because that habit becomes an emotional or mental crutch. Like someone may use food to escape, hide, or numb themselves from their emotions. Some people smoke, some people try other things. And unfortunately, some people stay on an unhealthy train their whole lives. Others like you have an aha moment. And what I mean by that is a moment of clarity when you see something profound about yourself, and it changes everything. And Ray, I want to know, what was your aha moment? Meaning, when did you realize that you really needed to quit smoking?
Well, I was signed up for a program that a lot of the hospitals are doing nowadays. It's a free smoking program. And it was in the beginning of this year. It filled up really fast. I was put on a waiting list. And then I had a life-changing event. I was involved in a single car accident. And I was lucky to walk away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And literally about 2 days after that, I realized, you know, life is short. You know, it wasn't my time. And then a good friend of mine, one of my fishing buddies, we got to talking one day, and he just helped me with the tools to get started. And then just let the cards fall into place.
And then that's
what
I meant
to you. I've done well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You have.
I've actually done better than I thought I would ever do.
Oh, I know. Awesome.
Ray, when you talk about, you know, I want to get to some other stuff in a second, but you kind of hit on an interesting point. When you walked away, because I remember probably about 10, 15 years ago, I was in a pretty bad car accident. I was the same like you. I walked away. did you realize almost immediately after, did you say to yourself, I'm just so lucky that this is something I have to do now, and I need to change my lifestyle. I've been given a second chance in life. And did that really kind of spark the change in lifestyle?
Yes, it did, Mark. It really did. It had me looking at, you know, I woke up like the next day, like, you know, life is short, man. I'm not going to, you know, let cigarettes get in the way of, you know, the rest of my life. And that was pretty much, and I was mentally prepared for it at the time. So it kind of, those two things together helped me.
You know, Mark, I saw the pictures of the car accident in his car, and it is, it's shocking. It was really shocking. And, you know, we're all just blessed to have Ray still here. So, yeah, absolutely. I've never been in a car accident like that, but I can imagine what a wake-up call or aha moment or, you know, that moment of clarity must have been. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Very sobering. Very sobering.
What have kind of been, you know, everybody has their different challenges, obstacles. They try different things. I know out here I went to an event where people that were trying to quit smoking, and I think they do this around the country, where they serve cold turkey sandwiches, and they do different things to try to spur people on to stop smoking. What were some of the obstacles and challenges you had, and outside of the car accident being the wake up call to change your life, what are some of the day-to-day obstacles that you have when you're craving that cigarette, and when people out there that are listening say, hey, you know, I'm trying to quit, but I'm craving it too. Maybe you can shed some light on how they can overcome that.
Well, the main thing I dealt with in the beginning was like the actual physical part of grabbing a cigarette out of your pocket, lighting it, flicking the ashes, or putting a shirt on with a pocket, like a short sleeve shirt, and just, you know, the physical motion of feeling that pack of cigarettes. That was one of the things that I really had to get used to. Driving down the highway in the morning on the way to work, drinking a cup of coffee, flicking the ashes, and I had to retrain myself, so to say. And as far as the mental part of it, I was ready. So the cravings were the patch, and the patch helped with the cravings. They were still there, but it helped tremendously. And I have a lot of support. My support group is strong.
I was going to say, was that morning ride? Because I know I hear about that, like the little things, because my dad was a smoker too. So when you say, you know, just the enjoyment of, you know, of flicking the ash, when you stopped doing it, was it a tougher ride to work when you go to work in the morning?
Yeah. It was tough. It was different, so to say. It was different. And, you know, I got through it. And other than that, that's the most thing I struggled with in the beginning, in that cup of coffee in the morning, right after that cup of coffee in the morning. That was some of the worst times I craved. But then I started putting the patch on early in the morning when I first got up, and I've done wonderful since.
Yeah.
That's great.
If I smoke, let's see, 5 weeks into the program, I don't think I smoked 20 cigarettes versus 30 packs.
Yeah.
So.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. I have chills. I'm so excited for you. You know, I've done this for years and years and years. And I was talking to a client not too long ago, and he had quit smoking. He was a non-smoker for 6 years, and he still says the same thing you did, Ray. Like after dinner, he's just kind of like automatically grab that pack of cigarettes for an after dinner cigarette or something like that. So that's not really uncommon. I hear that a lot. So. And kind of breaking the habit in your cycle, but having the support, that's going to be your thing. And again, proud of you. So,
yeah, because
you know, we talked.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
Physical,
this is your interview.
Okay, you have that physical action of actually, you've done it for so long, and you just think that pack of cigarettes still in your pocket with that lighter, and you've done it for so long, it's like your body's trained for it. And
yeah.
You got to break yourself. When you quit smoking, you don't do that anymore. And you're so used to doing it over the years, it's just like almost natural.
Mark, what's your habit? Everybody out there knows I am addicted to sugar because I've talked about it every single show we've done. Mark, what's your habit? What's your one thing?
Yeah, I, you know, my, Yeah, no, that's fine. No, I'm fascinated when I listen to someone like Ray. It's interesting because I never was a smoker. I never really drank too much. I guess now, I mean, if we're talking about, you know, diet and exercise, the thing that my habit that I try to watch out for is carbs. And I know that that's kind of a weak answer to your question, but
what'd you say? Carbs? Like plain carbs?
Carbs. No, carbs. Like food, pizza and pizza and pasta carbs.
Okay.
So
I'm like family?
Yeah. No, not cards. No, although that would be a bad one too if I was losing a lot of money playing poker or something. But you know, it's funny. I grew up, as I was saying earlier, in a family where my dad was a smoker, and it was brutal because he would try to quit, and even after he was diagnosed with bladder cancer, and he had emphysema, you know, all these things in relation to smoking, he never really had, you know, the wake up call that Ray had, where you know, he was in a car accident and said, one day I'm just going to change everything. So to me, it's always fascinating to talk to someone like Ray to see what that aha moment is. And, mm-hmm. you know, for me, getting kind of back to your question, I've been fortunate, and maybe because it was in an upbringing where I saw someone, you know, that had so much trouble with it and, you know, had disease from it, that I probably said, you know what, I'm just not going to even go down that road. So, this is kind of a hats off to Ray for, you know, sticking with it and moving forward, because quitting smoking is, I've seen it firsthand how hard it can be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
another thing I'd like
about
to say is, in the last week, I mean, those 18 cigarettes I talked about, that was kind of like in the beginning, one here and one there, but I'm rolling up on 7-8 days without one as we speak now. So I'm doing very well.
Yes, you are. Yeah. And, well, Mark just talked about, you know, the aha moment or that moment of clarity, which I think is very important for anybody in their wellness plan. Now, everyone's aha moment is different. I mean, obviously, yours was deep and profound, a car accident, and this is my second chance. I'm going to live with wellness. It's not always like that, but it's the moment when something clicks and you have the desire to be healthy and starts to override the desire to smoke or to eat cookies or chocolate or carbs or play cards. But anything
right.
can trigger this moment. For our listeners out there, maybe this, right now, listening to Ray, may be your aha moment. And I really think it will be for some people. But what would you tell our listeners out there that are wanting to quit but don't know where to start? They're just kind of at, you know, the level one, I don't even know where to begin. What would you say?
I would say getting yourself mentally prepared and educate yourself on the effects of smoking and support.
Mm-hmm.
If you have those things in place, the rest will just fall in line. The patch is a wonderful thing. It really does work well.
Yeah.
And
now, are you still wearing the patch every day, Ray?
Yes, I am. I'm on the first stage of three. I'm on one of three. And honestly, I don't think I'm going to make it to the third because I'm not going to need it. I'm doing so good.
Yeah. And do you do things like do you chew gum or do you have to do anything like that to kind of help with?
No,
I
haven't had to do anything like that. I'm just so mentally prepared to be done with it, and that's a real important part of it. You know,
yeah.
when you make up your mind, you want to do something, you can do it. Anybody can do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk about the kind of the other side of this. You know, Beth was telling me, and you and I talked a little bit before we did the interview, you kind of consider yourself probably like a lot of us, like a recreational athlete. You're doing 5Ks, fun runs. Now that you're kind of a non-smoker and it's kind of blue skies ahead for you, tell us about that. Tell us about getting back into running and the training. How do you feel now as opposed to if you tried running in the past? Where are you at with your fitness?
I run 3 days a week. I do about 2 miles on Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturdays, a little bit of walking and jogging. I've changed my diet a little bit, but the overall feeling when I wake up in the morning, and I would say the second week, it's incredible. You would never believe the difference until you experience it.
That'd be your second week after quitting. Yeah.
And, you know, in the beginning, it was not cold turkey. It was, maybe one here and here, but just that not smoking that one pack a day, it's unbelievable how much better you actually feel when you get up in the morning.
Well, running's been
helping me too.
I was going to say, when you first started running again, or when you were running when you were smoking, did your lungs burn? I mean, what was it more of a heavy feeling?
How did it
affect you?
It didn't really affect me too much because I ran. It's probably been about several years since I actually ran. I ran the Crescent City Classic in 2005 before Katrina, and I never really had a problem with it. But I mean, as far as like breathing and stuff, I mean, naturally I'm not going to be as good as anybody that don't smoke, but it never affected me. But now it's different. I feel like I have a little more endurance, so to speak. And it's different now. Just to wake up in the morning and sneeze, and all of that's gone now. Now, mm-hmm. The food, eating food, you taste your food better. Just overall, that's all I can say about it.
And to let you know, Mark, he's actually running in that same Crescent City run this Saturday.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, very cool. Hey, is it hard? And Ray, I used to live down. I lived in the Shreveport area, and then I worked in Texarkana. And we asked one of our other guests who's from down there, and I say this without some kidding a little bit. I like to be kind of funny, but that is an area that is so well known for such good food and good cuisine that is so bad for you. Is it hard to? And you sound like you have you're obviously native to that area. And is it hard to stay away from some of that food? Or are you trying to kick that habit as well?
Yes, I am. I'm trying to stay away.
And how hard is it to stay away from the hush puppies and fried cats?
Oh, it's tough. It's tough because you grow up with it all your life. It's tough, but I'm 47 years old and, you got to look at your health. And a lot of that stuff, it's so good, but it's just not good for you. And a lot of the restaurants down here now are having their little healthy side menus. It's the same type of food, but on the healthier side. A lot of them are doing that now. So that's something that you hadn't seen, say, 5 years ago. Most of the restaurants that serve all that hearty food, so to say, is, all that bacon fat and all that stuff they use and the etouffees and all of that. That stuff's not good for you, but a lot of them are eliminating that and making a healthier side to it.
Well, maybe when I come down there, though, you can break the diet, and I'll break my diet for one day, and we can go have a shrimp po' boy. How about a shrimp po' boy? Would that work?
Yeah, that'll work for me.
Guys, I've never liked that type of food. I mean, I love French fries. I do, but that's probably the only, fried food I would crave or I would want. So, I guess I'm lucky in that aspect. And now, did you eat a lot of that type of food when you were in Louisiana, Mark?
I didn't. I'm kind of like you with that, Beth. But, once in a while, I did. My weakness, and I don't really have a sweet tooth, but you can't get it out in California. I loved the blueberry cobbler that in the South. I thought that was one of the greatest things ever. And when I moved back to California, if I ever had a craving for it, you can't get it here. Where it's made as good as it is in Louisiana. So, I was fortunate where I didn't crave it all that much because it was a little too heavy fried. And but I'll tell you, once in a while, a sandwich down there, like a po' boy, was good. And so I'm glad I'm away from it now because they don't even really have those kinds of restaurants out here. Maybe a couple here and there, but I don't seek it out. But I know what Ray's getting at, saying, the temptation and the food, it's very good.
It's more like the culture you grow up with.
Yeah.
It's like normal. It's normal to us. But
exactly. Exactly.
You know, a lot of fried foods, a lot of fried seafood in this area. And a lot of restaurants. So you have a lot of restaurants. You can have
there
a restaurant
are.
Every corner and anywhere.
And, you know, when I'm in Louisiana for meetings, it seems like, you know, when we go to lunch or when they bring in food, it's interesting. It's a little different than California, Texas, or something like that. But, you know, and the culture and the people are amazing, and food is a way to show that side. So, but, you know, everyone's wellness goals are different, obviously, and everyone has different struggles, too. I mean, I have days when I'm too busy. Where I don't work out, or maybe I eat too much sugar or carbs, and then I will get back on track. Within days, I feel so much better. I can feel like my body's healing itself. Those are the moments when I look at my life, and I'm healing not only my body, but my spirit as well. How has kicking the tobacco habit helped you in everyday life? I mean, obviously the running. You said your food tastes better, but what are other ways that quitting that tobacco has made you feel better, like spirit, mind, body?
Financially, for one, $6 a day.
Yeah.
It used to be $6 a day, so that adds up quick. Just the overall feeling, I mean, just waking up and I guess, I don't know, not having them toxins or whatever in your body.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and it's just, and then eating, you know, I started eating different. I'm not 100% healthy, but about 50% healthy as well. And you just, you know, I guess once your body doesn't get all in chemicals or whatever's in cigarettes, it just starts replenishing itself. The effects of smoking start reversing themselves so fast. A lot of people don't realize it.
Your body does heal itself. Yeah, absolutely right. Now, you told me, and I'm going to put you on the spot, Ray, you told me that you're happier now. And that could be, I know, something when you do have an addiction, when you realize and that doesn't have control over your, you know, you have more control over yourself than this addiction. So that in itself can make you happy. But you said you're happier too, whether it be just the mindset of I'm a non-smoker or, you know, that not having those chemicals and toxins in your body. But you said you've just been happier the past few weeks.
Yeah, you set a goal and you accomplish it, and it makes you feel good about it. Overall doing better emotionally, physically, everything.
Yeah.
Hey, when I come out there, Ray, is there a good place to go fishing? And when I get out there, where can we go and have
you,
a cup of coffee?
You just call me when you get here,
no,
and I'll take care of the rest.
No, maybe have a cup of coffee on the boat. No cigarettes, obviously.
No
but,
cigarettes in my boat anymore.
What do you You know, I haven't been there in a while. What do you fish for? Catfish? What do you fish for?
We fish saltwater redfish, speckled trout, flounder.
Oh,
mainly
nice.
Speckled trout. I fish a lot of rodeos and tournaments and stuff throughout the summer. And I live on the water, Mark. So, you know, I can walk out my backyard, get in my boat, and go fishing.
Right.
So it's a little bit easier for me. I live waterfront property, so.
Nice.
You know, I go to Grand Isle, Louisiana a lot, which is an island, one of the few islands left in Louisiana. We do a lot of fishing there in the spring, coming up real soon, and in the summer, spend a lot of time there. And, you know, you come down, you give me a shout, and I'll put you on.
Well, maybe we can do you do a fish fry at the end of the day? Is that what you do?
Probably not. I mean, we can, but I have a few recipes up my sleeve that you'll love, and they're not fried.
Hey, Mark, he's not kidding. I have heard, and I'm curious, I have heard at least two people say Ray's, like, secret recipe. So I think you're going to be
really?
The three of us need to hook up, and we need to go fishing and let Ray cook for us.
And we can do that.
It's a great day.
You know, the last time I went fishing out here, I didn't catch anything. Ray, will you guarantee that I will catch a fish? Can we guarantee that?
I can pretty much guarantee it, but we have the time right now. I can't guarantee a fish on every day, but you call me and I'll set it up. And I can pretty much 100% guarantee anything.
Sweet. That's what I want
to
do.
I wanted to start a charter service years ago, and I wanted to take my clients fishing, and I wanted to bring them back and see them. And I just
nice.
Never did do it. Kind of like the bonus plan.
Yeah. Well, Ray, we could go on forever, and we appreciate your time. I know you've had some really good coaching from Beth. I know that's what she does, and she's wonderful at it. Appreciate. I hope you had a good. Did you have fun doing this? Was this easy
yes,
on
I
you?
Did.
Fun?
Thank y'all for having me on.
Yeah. No, we appreciate it, and we'll stay in touch with you. I'm gonna get on your fishing boat at some point, and Ray,
just give me a call.
I will. Continued success with the smoking cessation, and thanks for sharing your story, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Mel D. And on behalf of the Atlanta Life Radio team, we thank all of our faithful listeners. If this is your first time tuning in, we thank you. Please share us with a friend and make sure you come back. A special thank you to all of our financial sponsors, because without their financial support, this show would not be made possible. If you are interested in becoming a financial sponsor or want to learn how to advertise with us, please send us an email complete with your contact information to info@AtlantaLifeRadio.com. Again, send your email of interest complete with your contact information to info@AtlantaLifeRadio.com. And now we return back to our program.
And we are back on a Wednesday night on Let's Talk Going Gym Free. I'm Mark in California, Beth in Texas or Louisiana, somewhere down there.
You always forget.
Beth,
I just said.
I can't remember. It's all, you know, it's that same part of the country. It's close enough.
I know. It's the same
thing.
No, it's not.
It's a car ride.
It is a car ride.
So real quickly, if you want to email us, goinggymfree@gmail.com. Twitter, ALR Radio, follow us or like us on Facebook, of course. And then you can go on the website to see what we're doing and to play a podcast after the show is done at AtlantaLifeRadio.com. Beth, Ray, fantastic interview, neat guy. Started to cut out a little bit there at the end. Cell phone reception anywhere is always iffy. He was in part of Southwest Louisiana, I believe. But he made his point. He was wonderful. And was happy that he took, 20, 30 minutes to tell his story, because he is in the same boat, no pun intended, because he's a fisherman, but he's in the same boat with a lot of people you and I both see, right?
Absolutely. And what a testimony to say, hey, listen, I've been doing this for 30 plus years and I'm changing and I'm not looking back. I am so proud I could burst. So, yeah, that makes my job so worthwhile, and I know why I do this now.
Yeah. No, he's a good guy. And
he's
going
to take you fishing.
Yeah, I'm not kidding when I told him this and when I said this. The last time I went fishing, I didn't catch a fish, and it was one of those things where it's devastating, because you go, I want to catch a fish. And you kind of feel like the kid at the ball game that drops the foul ball and then never gets another foul ball again. So you're thinking to yourself, I had the ball. It was right there. There's all these fish, or there's a baseball, and I can't get it. So
that's your baseball, because you're a baseball player. That was your analogy.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, that was – but I would like to catch a fish and have a fish fry. So I'm up for that. Yeah,
well, you have his contact information, so shoot him an email.
Him.
I'm sure he'll hook you up.
I hope so. I really hope so. Hey, what do we want to do? Do you want to go to Ask Beth? Do you have this or that? What do we want to
No. We have a this or that segment. I don't know how long I'm going to do this, but it's kind of fun because you put me on the spot. So I just have to get back. I have to get you back. So
okay. This
is my this or that. Just a few, and then we can get on to the questions, phone calls, and emails. But, okay, would you rather run a marathon? Would you rather swim a marathon? 26.2 miles out there for folks that do not know.
With my hamstrings and knees and hips, I'm swimming.
You would swim 26.2 miles.
Well, I probably wouldn't be able to finish either, but if you said I have to do one and you're going to complete one, I'd rather swim.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I'm a California guy. I love the water. I love swimming.
I'm a California guy. Really? Okay. Would you rather swim and dodge sharks or alligators?
Oh my God. Am I in a cage?
No, you're swimming. Just you.
Great white sharks, or like the little, but the little ones that kind of gum at you, like a tiger shark. I'm gonna go with a shark. I don't think there's a win situation there, but I'll go shark. Because I know an alligator, I'm not gonna be able to negotiate with an alligator. You're done.
That's so funny. Okay, go to a movie or go to the opera?
A movie.
Okay, have you been to the opera?
No, but they don't serve popcorn at the opera.
Okay. Okay, would you rather go to the opera or a Broadway play, musical?
Broadway play. I have not been to a Broadway play in New York, but I've been to plays in other places, and yeah, I would go do a play. Opera is, I think, an acquired taste, and I have a lot of respect for what they. I mean, they're incredible. How long is the opera?
This sounds like torture.
Is it a 15-minute opera or a 3-hour opera? Those are usually so long, aren't they?
You know what? I've never been. I've always wanted to go. I've been to Broadway shows. I've been to, I've been to Chicago and Cats and movies, but I've never been to an opera.
We'll go to one.
You'll take
we'll
me to an opera?
One.
Okay.
Sure.
Hey, I have actually a plug-in. One of my good friends sits on the board of the Houston Opera, so I have an in. I've never gone. So
okay.
My last. Actually, I have two more.
Sure.
Blue or green?
Blue.
Cooking or eating?
Oh, boy, that's a good one. She stumped me. Cooking. I'm going to go cooking. I love to cook. I don't do it enough. But I love to try it, and I've been pretty good at it. Yeah, I'll go with cooking there.
Okay, for our listeners, Mark and I are really, really good friends, and I actually text him on a Saturday night. I'm like, "What's up? What are you doing?" He's like, "Making an omelet at dinner time." Do you remember that?
I was making the fluffiest omelet you'd ever taste.
You remember
that
omelet?
It was so good. It was good. And just for you, I put avocado on it because I know you hate avocado. I'm kind of
mean
that way. All right, that was good. That was a good this or that. Thanks for putting me on the spot about swimming with alligators and going to the opera. All right. So, how about this one? Let's go. We got a few of these, and then I think we might even have a caller. This one is: I don't have time to cook. Can you suggest some quick and easy breakfast, lunch, and dinner options that don't involve cooking? That's the million-dollar question right there. Healthy without cooking.
Okay. To answer this question effectively, I would really need to know your metabolic type and what type of oxidizer you are, but I can definitely give some quick tips as Mark can. But I'm going to put breakfast and snacks kind of in the same category. And
sure.
Why not try nuts and fruits, low-fat cheeses? I'm not a big dairy person, but it does have good protein. Maybe some whole wheat crackers from Cashie, hard-boiled eggs. I am addicted. I love Luna and Clif Bars to eat on the run. A few other really good options are snack-sized containers like low-fat Greek yogurt or plain yogurt. And just make sure you choose a yogurt with no high-fructose corn syrup. You can try maybe a Healthy Valley granola bar. Arrowhead Mills, I love their brand of instant oatmeal. Make sure it's instant. Some whole grain toast, high fiber cereal with some skim milk or almond milk. And each of these ideas are going to take less than just a few minutes of your time. So moving on to lunch, I'm going to say ideally you would take some time the night before or on the weekends to prepare healthier foods to pack and take with you. But if that isn't realistic for you or you just don't have the time, you can prepare, you can buy prepared salads at the supermarket. I love chicken Caesar and tuna seafood salads, Trader Joe's or Whole Foods. When I really need to run out the door and don't have time. Another thought is a sandwich. Just make sure that the bread is whole grain, the meat is organic, not processed. So look for fresh, low-sodium deli meats. Avoid high-fat condiments like mayo. Choose mustard. It's naturally low in fat instead. And now for dinner, which is my favorite meal. That's usually my biggest meal, which it shouldn't be. But this meal really should be similar, a similar effort as lunches. And that you need to buy pre-cooked foods if you're in a hurry, deli counter, in the supermarket. Again, always ask for organic meat. You might better get a better chance of getting this Whole Foods. Although I see a lot of major food chains like Walmart, they're really getting on the bandwagon with offering healthier options. Have you seen that?
Yeah. No, I mean, everybody's trying something to try to get on that. To get healthier. So yeah, you have to kind of search a little bit and kind of hunt and peck to find that stuff, but it's out there. You know, everybody's trying to get on board with that. So yeah.
And it might be a little bit more expensive because convenience doesn't come cheap. So these can be quick and easy and healthy. And, you know, if I'm in a hurry, I like to pick up a grilled chicken breast, salmon, halibut, turkey, all pre-cooked. I'll toss it in a plastic container, run out the door with it. I'll buy some veggies on the side or maybe brown rice. And, you know, at the end of the day, your choices are going to come down to what's more feasible for you. And I'm giving you a few options here, so involving varying amounts of money and time. But the bottom line is finding the time to plan your meals for the week and trying to cook on the weekend. So that way you're going to know exactly what's in your food with sodium, fat, calories, and so forth. So I hope you can make some healthy choices from those options.
Do we have a caller on the line? Holly, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Oh, hi, Holly. Thanks for calling in the show.
Hey, how are y'all doing?
I'm good. We're good. Do you have a question for Beth, and then maybe I can clean it up if she makes a mistake?
I sure do. I am part of the Wellness Champion program here at Performance Energy, and I think it's great that they are taking the time to get this program to further along everyone's health and lifestyle. And I work out on a daily basis, but I don't always have the time to eat as healthy as I should. So I had a question. Is it okay to substitute a protein shake for a snack or a meal? And also, I like to eat a lot of different fruits, but I heard melons and pineapples are very high in sugar. So is that okay to eat when you're trying to eat healthier?
Yes, go ahead. Holly. So let's dive into your protein shake question first. And the answer is absolutely. You just need to make sure that you work it into your daily calorie budget. I find that pure whey isolate protein is the best and most easily digested. You really should avoid protein shakes that use soy protein or the ones that have a lot of additives, sugar, flavorings, artificial sweeteners. Personally, I like to make my protein shakes with whey protein. That's my favorite. Organic berries, Greek yogurt, maybe a few packets of xylitol, which is a non-toxic, low-calorie sweetener. So, yeah, absolutely, I think protein shakes. People need about half your body weight in grams of protein a day, and I don't think we're getting enough of it. But then you don't want too much because it's hard on your kidneys. So, again, just make sure that you're working that into your daily calorie and protein budget, so to say, and we're good to go. But for your question about fruit, my recommendation for tropical fruits like watermelon and pineapple and mangoes is to limit your consumptions. Don't eat them more than maybe 5 times a week. I don't know what you're going to say, Mark, but that's because they're less than stellar and they're high in sugar and high on the glycemic index. And mm-hmm. the glycemic index is a scale that measures the extent to which food affects your blood glucose levels. That said, some of these fruits are better choices than others. Like watermelon is actually full of iron and potassium and lycopene, which is a cancer-fighting antioxidant. As a footnote, you should always remember to store your watermelon at room temperature. Believe it or not, it tastes better when it's in the fridge. But that way, if it's room temperature, you're going to give it time to develop more lycopene as it ripens. And then pineapple. And you mentioned pineapple, although yummy, and one of my personal favorites, it doesn't really have that many, I hate to say it, Holly, it doesn't have that many nutritional benefits as other fruits. So given its high GI value, it's really not worth it. So I'd skip the pineapple and go with better choices like apples, oranges, grapefruits, berries, that sort of thing.
Okay,
what do you say, Mark?
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's great. Holly, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. I hope you have a
no
good rest
problem.
Of the night.
No problem. Yeah,
hang
too.
In there.
You'll have a good afternoon.
All right, keep listening. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Holly.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, Beth, here's another one. I don't have weights or equipment, and I can't really afford to go out and buy it. Do you have any suggestions for what I can use instead?
Yeah, let's get a little creative. Okay, this
push-ups.
Is going to sound a little backy. Well, yeah, but think about things around your house. Think about jugs of water, canned goods, candlesticks, books, anything that you can grip firmly and securely that weighs 3 to 5 pounds will work. So, I mean, then, like you just said, let's not forget the most obvious tool we have, our own body weight. Think old school Richard Simmons. I love Richard.
Yeah.
I love his hair. I do too.
That afro.
Well, think of Jane Fonda. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Exercise has really progressed, leaps and bounds since Richard and Jane had introduced their workout videos in the early 80s. But some of the stuff was great for home workouts. Remember all those leg lifts that, you know, they used to do? Not to mention crunches and squats, lunges, wall squats. Those wide circular movements that they would do with their arms, made for your shoulders. And when you do those, you feel like you're on fire. So there are plenty of times when I'm on the road, I just mentioned that, and I have to do an entire week's worth of workouts in my hotel room without any equipment. And some of those have been the best workouts I've ever had.
I would say Google Jack LaLanne. And
he was the guy.
See, he was my guy. Like Jack was... He was the guy. He was the guy. I mean, he would do push-ups against the couch, and he would do dips, little bar dips with his chairs in his house, and I agree with you. I a lot of what I do is stuff in the house. So I'll do light push-ups, stretching against the wall, dips with a chair. Like you said, water jugs are good. Yeah, anything in that 3 to 5 pound range is perfect. So on that note, that leads to the next question of what size.
Well, actually, let me add something.
Go ahead.
Let me add something. There's something about me, a little tidbit, because I know you're wondering all the time about my workouts. You know, I love dumbbells and barbells, like free weights, but I'm actually not a huge fan of machines. I'm
really
not.
Yeah,
and I love
the gym. Me neither. Yeah.
And that, see if you're on the same target as I am, and that's because they artificially isolate your muscles and don't allow your body to work in a natural way. And they also don't allow for proper development if you're stabilizing muscle groups like your core. So that's why I think, body weight and barbells and dumbbells are, again, if you're getting on machines, that's great. Any type of workout is great, but that's my take on.
That's good. No, I think you're dead on. Okay, size dumbbells, 5-10 pounds. What's the rule of thumb to start with? When should I move up? And so on and so forth.
Dumbbells. For weight loss, research, and what I have found, that lifting between 60% and 80% of your one rep max is the best way to stimulate muscle growth, which is which is what helps you lose fat. So for our listeners, a rep max means the heaviest amount of weight you can lift for one rep of an exercise. And the problem with that is most of us don't think about how much weight we need, or we don't go to the trouble of figuring out our one rep max for every single exercise we do. In fact, I see so many gym goers. I mean, I've worked in the gym since I was 16. I have seen so many exercisers lifting the same weights week after week, day after day. And that is just that's only one way to keep your body from changing. That's horrible. So to figure out how much you should lift and you don't know your one rep max, I suggest, especially if you're a beginner, you know, choose a weight where you can lift with good form, maybe 12 to 16 reps, which is one set. You don't need to go into complete muscle failure, but make sure you're challenging yourself and your body. Begin with one set of each exercise, slowly working your way up to two or three sets, maybe adding a set every week or every other week. And when you've added sets, you have a solid foundation for your exercise. And let's say after 2 months, maybe add some weight so you can only do 8 to 12 reps. Continue to progress by adding a rep each week until you reach the max reps, which should be no more than 16 ever. Then increase your weight and drop your reps back down to 8 to 12. So I think the most important thing to remember when it comes to strength training is that you must give your muscles more weight than they can handle, because that's how muscles grow. The challenge of lifting heavier weights is just as much of a mental game as a physical one, just like Ray said with smoking. It's a physical and mental game too. But if you haven't pushed your body's limit in a while, the act of lifting weights alone may be all you can handle. So if you're consistent with the basic program and build a solid foundation of strength, you're going to be ready for the next step, which is increasing the amount of weight, pushing your muscles to the limits, and you're going to be amazed at changes in your body.
Yeah. Hey, good work there on the Ask Beth segment. We only have a couple minutes left, but we want to add two new things to the show this week, the tip of the week and the challenge of the week. And I am going to do the tip of the week because this one has been something that's really changed me, and that my tip of the week is to use a foam roller. I am a big fan of the foam roller. It's helped my legs. It's kept them fresh because I'm out and about walking and umpiring, and I just gently, you know, roll over it maybe 2-3 minutes a day. And you can pick one up probably at any sporting goods store. And I love mine. It's been great. I mean, it's been great. You know, I had like a hamstring issue, and I would hurt in the middle of the night even, and I couldn't figure out that I was going to doctors. I was, what's going on? Physical therapist. And I started using a foam roller, and it's amazing how much better I feel. So that's my tip of the week. Do you agree? Do you like the foam roller? I love it.
I do. Man. I have two. I have a little one that I travel with, and then I have a really, like, industrial-sized one at my place. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Actually, when I stretch, that is, like, my best friend. And, you know, my IT band and my lower back and even my neck. I do. I love it. That's a great tip of the week. And you can get them not only at sporting goods stores, you can get them at Target and Walmart now.
Yeah. And also, we want to do a challenge of the week. So here's how you have, if you want to participate and kind of get, you know, interactive with us, go on to Facebook and like us. And then once you like us, you'll be able to write a comment about what you're doing for the challenge of the week. And we started this because of Ray's story, and we want people to pick a challenge for a week and try it for a week and see what you can do. And then we want you to email us at goinggymfree@gmail.com. And I think the hope is Beth, I was talking with our producer, Mel D, is that if we get enough of these stories, we'll eventually dedicate, you know, maybe a full hour long show. We'll have these people call in and they can tell their success stories, which I think would be really, really cool. And so do that, and then put, you know, so if your challenge is, if you're going to be like Ray and you say, hey, I want to try quitting smoking for a week, let's see how you do. Email us, tell us how it's going. If you're not a smoker and you say, look, I want to try giving up soda for a week, or I'm going to try walking 15 to 20 minutes a day for a week because you haven't been doing that. Anything any kind of habit change that is going to push you just a little bit, we want to hear about it. So I love this segment, actually. I think this is really cool. So just because Ray was on there talking about smoking cessation today, that doesn't mean that that has to be your challenge. So pick something. Let us know about it on Facebook. Email us. Tell us how it's going. And we'll even talk about it on the air next week. So I'm excited about that, Beth. I think that's a neat thing to get people involved. Yeah. So.
And like I said, when we were talking to Ray, quitting smoking, you know, maybe a tough emotional decision. If you smoke, but why not if you have a parent or a sibling or a friend or a spouse? You know, that could be a challenge too. Try to help them quit smoking and just really try to kick this habit. And so that might be something you can kind of piggyback onto this challenge. And I love the challenge. And I am still on my challenge with Mark Prescott. I want you to do
Zumba.
Here
we go with a Zumba. Just be happy. Look, let's just be happy that I'm not going to go swim with alligators. Let's work on the opera and the Zumba class. Okay? And we'll go with that. So
I got three for you.
Okay,
three challenges.
Right.
Hey, you pick.
Yeah.
You pick, buddy.
Okay. We'll figure it out and I'll post them. Okay. We are out of time. It's been another hour, Beth. It has flown by. So, Beth, stay healthy and well out there in Texas, Louisiana, in that little fun portion of the world. And I will talk to you next week. We hope all our listeners have a good week. And get involved in that challenge. Challenge is a cool thing. So hang in there. We will talk to you next week. And have a great rest of your week. Stay healthy, everybody. We'll see you later.